In as much as today is Yom HaAtzma'ut, there's a lot of discussion among the Achronim whether Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah or it's not a mitzvah. Somebody sent me a remarkable recording of Rav Soloveitchik, who was speaking in 1958, and he has some remarkable remarks I wanted to share with you. And he points out that despite the immense literature in Chazal, in the Poskim, in the Achronim, starting with the Rambam, discussing the Achronim, whether or not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one of the Tayag mitzvahs, he says, whether or not something or other is or is not a mitzvah in the Tayag is absolutely irrelevant to how important something it is in Klal, in Yahadus. And he says, I have a proof to you. He says, the first of the Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzichem Eretz Yisrael, that itself is subject to a machlokas. The Ramban says that that's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. Meaning, it's not one of the tayag mitzvahs. Of course, you have to do it, and you have to believe Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hadibros, but it's not in one of the tayag mitzvahs. Why? Because the Ramban says it's so fundamental, it's so pivotal, it's so foundational, it doesn't need to be have its specified mitzvah in the of the count of tayag. So points out of Soloveitchik, which the Megillas Esther already says something like this far 400 years ago, but that's exactly what the question of Eretz Yisrael, or living in Eretz Yisrael, is. It's so fundamental and so part of who we are, what Torah is. It's such a yasid upon which Torah is built, that whether or not there happens to be one of the tayag or not one of the tayag is irrelevant to its centrality in Torah and in living as a Yid. And he raised the question, again, this was in 1958, and he's looking back on the first 10 years of Eretz Yisrael as a Medina, and he wonders, he's very bothered, he's wondering how come there's been so much fighting, so much pain, so much suffering, so much loss, right at the very beginning, from the first Friday that Eretz Yisrael became a nation, they already started the bombing. So he said something I think was very powerful. He said, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Kedusha emanates from one place. Kedusha emanates from when Klal Yisrael comes b'shutfus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Klal Yisrael join HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where Kedusha occurs. The ideal, or the prime way of us being mishtatev with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is through a concept called Bris. Bris is where we connect and bond kivayachal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bris is something where each party has to give up. The prototype of the paradigm of Bris is Bris Mila, where there is some level of sacrifice, and through that sacrifice we become shutfa, and we have a shutfus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the shutfus of B'damayi Chayi. And in order to have that shutfus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael, to create the Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael has within it, contains within it, there has to be that challenge, that those challenges that accompany the very challenging time that Eretz Yisrael faced in those early years. And he says that if something would have been too easy, there wouldn't have been the nature of, or the ability for something to be withstand the test of time. So for example, Luchos Rishonos were so obvious. It was so obvious that HaKadosh Baruch was there, giving us the Torah, and the obviousness, the evidence, the revelation, the Gili Shechina was so absolutely obvious, because of its obviousness and its Gilui, because of that very reason, famous Beis HaLevi points out, that's why the first Luchos were ultimately destroyed and didn't last long, because the Chet HaEgel came just a short while right after that. On the other hand, the Luchos Rishonos, as the Beis HaLevi points out, were given in a much less obvious way. Moshe had to go up and down, up and down, up and down. Psalacha, you have to do the work. You have to do the hard work. You have to carve it out, Hashem says to Moshe. You have to sacrifice for it. That's a kinyan. The Lichos Shnios is a kinyan that we kept and we continue to hold on to for all of the millennia. Similarly, when Avram Avinu is told, you know, Kedas Yitzchak, Bris Ben Abisarim, is all about the fact, Ha'ales Pincha, you have to sacrifice them back and forth, and there's a zigzag, there's an up and down. That's an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something to be. If things would have been smooth, things would have been easy, there wouldn't have been a need to sacrifice, then there wouldn't be the everlasting quality of our kinyan of something. And I think this is sort of hinted somewhat in a Gemara in Brachas, on Daf Hei Amud Beis, I believe, where the Gemara has a very unusual phrase. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has three matanas. Three matanas. When you think matana, you think happy birthday, you think of a new bike, you think of somebody else maybe thinks of a new ring, a new bracelet. Matanas tovas, shalosh matanas tovas, nasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael. We have Torah, the matana of Torah for Torah. We have the matana of Olam Haba, and we have the matana of Eretz Yisrael. Those are the three matanas tovas, Torah, Olam Haba, and Eretz Yisrael. And then, remarkably, the Gemara continues and says, shalosh matanas tovas, nasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael, v'chulon niknin al yedei Yisurin. But the only way to get any one of these three matanos is by paying your dues with Yisurim, some amount, some level of sacrifice in order to acquire Torah, some measure of sacrifice in order to earn, of course, Olam Haba, some measure of sacrifice to be able to keep Eretz Yisrael. I want to ask you a question. If you have to sacrifice for something, then it's not a matana. Matana means it's free. If it's only acquired through paying with Yisur and paying with sacrifice, that means it's a sale. It's a mecher. It's not a gift. It's an oxymoron. If it's a gift, then it's for free. If you have to pay for it with pain and suffering or Yisur, then it's not a gift. So which one is it? I think the answer is that there are certain things that in order to be able to appreciate them, the only way they could be appreciated, the only way they could be maintained, the only way they could be kept and cherished is if you work hard for them. So yes, it's a gift, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that the only way he could give us this as a gift, the only way he could give us Torah as a gift, Olam Haba, yes, it's a gift. Eretz Yisrael, yes, it's a gift, but we will only be able to appreciate and make the kinyan on it as Soloveitchik was saying, to create that bond, that bris of Eretz Yisrael being the bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah being the bris between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is if we sacrifice for it. And that sacrifice is what makes it able to be ours. Otherwise, we wouldn't appreciate it, we wouldn't have it. So ultimately, yes, it's a gift. But in order, some gifts need a little bit of sacrifice. In Yeshiva today, one of the Rabbanim mentioned a line from the Hakdama of Rav Yaakov Emden to the Siddur. It happens to be, I was just in my parents' house in Flatbush on Sunday, and I went through my father's Svarim. And one of the Svarim that I decided maybe I'd like to, you know, take back to my office here in Lawrence is the Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur Beis Yaakov of Rav Yaakov Emden, and he has his Hakdama. And Rav Yaakov Emden asks, he has a beautiful piece about tefillah, introduction to the concept of tefillah, to all the kavanos you're supposed to have during tefillah, and then he talks about the direction that we stand facing, of course, Eretz Yisrael. And he goes on an arichas about talking about his love affair with Eretz Yisrael. And he raises a question I think is painful for me to ask, and it's going to be painful for me to ask you. And I think, even though it's painful, I think it's appropriate that we face it and deal with it. And how we each deal with it in our own different ways, I don't have an answer. And I don't feel that it's right for me to ask it because I'm here with you. But this is what Rav Yaakov Emden asks. Be'emes, hi tmiya kayemes al Yisrael kadoshim. I have a fundamental question. I don't understand what's happening in Klal Yisrael. We're so careful about all the mitzvahs that we do. You go Erev Sukkot to look at people buying their dalad minim, and you see the amount of money that people are willing to pay for a lemon. You see the amount of time and energy that people are willing to invest in checking on the black spots, the brown spots. Is it black? Is it brown? Is it deep red? Is it rust? All kinds of tiktukim, so careful cleaning for Pesach, weeks and weeks. We're willing to spend so much money on things like this. We try to do mitzvahs as well as we possibly can. Umaduo asks Rav Yaakov Emden, mizalzlan umisatzlan. We're so mizalzlan, we're so lazy. B'mitzvah hachaviva hazos, with this mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. Yosei shakol hator tuliyabo. This fundamental fulcrum upon which all of Torah rests. Now it's true, it's hard. I understand it's hard. And then he goes through the challenges that it is to go to Eretz Yisrael, which are very funny when you compare the descriptions of how difficult it is to go to Eretz Yisrael, that forget about the way the Rishon, forget about the way Rabbeinu Tam wrote about it, but even in the time of Yaakov Emden, 200 years ago, how he, less than 200 years ago, how he writes about the dangers and the sakanos and the tiltul haderech, and I understand you can't go when you have children, you can't possibly make the trip with children. I understand it is hard to travel on a plane for 10 hours with children. It is definitely hard. I don't think that's what he meant. He says, I promise, I give you my word. What right do I have to talk? Here I am. Where did he live? Anyone know where Yaakov Emden lived? He lived in Emden. That's why he's called Yaakov Emden. So he says, I give you my word. Even though I shouldn't really be talking because I'm here in Emden with you, wherever Emden, Germany, thank you. I give you my word that I'm a kabbal upon myself, that when I have the opportunity, after my children, you know, are mature enough that they're independent, that they're married off, and as long as I'll have enough money to make the trip, as hard as it might be, I'm a kabbal upon myself, I'm going to make this trip. And he instructs his children. That when you are able to reach that point, that whatever you're able to do, take care of whatever affairs need to be taken care of, you should commit yourselves. And now I'd like to finish with the following. Misha ose belibo haskama muchletes lalos Eretz Yisrael. Kishetazik yagdo. A person who makes a firm commitment to say, I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael when I can, when I'm able to. Umisake b'chutz laretz mipnei. He means because of the circumstances. I don't know what the next word is. I can't read it. Tovul, that kavana will make it, says Rav Yaakov Emden. The firm commitment that a person says that when I can go, I will go, will make it to kubal tfiloso ki'ilu omeid be'eretz Yisrael neged shara hashamayim. When a person makes a commitment to go to Eretz Yisrael when he and his family will be able to, from that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tfilos as though they're tfilos of Tfilos of Eretz Yisrael, Neged Shara Shamayim. Incredible, incredible, incredible words of Yaakov Emden. We should be Zocha to fulfill the, whether it's one of Tayag or not, one of Tayag is certainly a mitzvah. And we should be Zocha to very speedily go together with Mashiach and see the Geulah Shleima, Meher B'Yameinu. Amen.